Welcome to Raised by an Invisible Village, where we unbundle the incredible power of the people who influence our lives. I'm Kathy Houlihan, your host, who will be guiding you on a very personal transformative journey. My personal story of uncovering the diverse characters that made up my invisible village, who together enabled acceptance, growth, and success. I welcome you into the final episode of this season of Raised by an Invisible Village. It seriously has been a monumental 6 months on the road, revisiting and reliving all those different locations from my birthplace of Alice Springs through the centre of the Northern Territory to Darwin at the top, and then back down again through Katherine facing significant trauma to trekking down to the West Coast. Finally, being able to say thank you to some of those characters in my younger formative years of life has been an incredible ride. What an absolute privilege it has been for me to know and feel that to this day, almost 4 decades later, they are still here in my invisible village. For those that haven't had the opportunity to listen to episode 0, I encourage you into my personal space. It is one hell of a journey from my birth to a younger 16-year-old about to become a mother. I commenced compiling my story together at the beginning of this year. I knew that I had to be ready mentally and emotionally to go back through dark alleyways that I had fought for a very long time to keep in a box. Only to lift the lid was going to require a fair amount of emotional scaffolding. That one person who has been my absolute foundation of scaffolding is Joe, my husband and partner in life. He has been at every location at the forefront, loving me unconditionally, incredibly patient, hearing the same stories over and over again. This journey was made possible because of him. In closing out this final chapter, I wanted you to meet the man who is my absolute critical character in my invisible village.
It is a bit funny interviewing your husband, but here goes. So we've done over 11,000 kilometres together from the east to the west. What song do you never want to hear again?
Oh, what song? Definitely Fast Cars, and I don't care whether it's by Luke Combs or Tracy Chapman, but Fast Cars is going to go.
You should know all the words by now. What is the best caravan purchase that we've made over the past 6 months?
I think definitely Starlink, Stinky Starlink. Obviously our internet device, thank you Elon Musk, that's great. But I also like my little tyre pressure checker for peace of mind, so when you're travelling you can see the tyre pressures in the car and the caravan. Very boring, but that's my...
What about our Crocs?
Oh, Crocs. Yeah, Crocs are good. Crocs have been versatile. They come in normal standard, and you can also put them in sports mode or four-wheel drive mode if you're going upfield with a little heel attachment. So they're definitely the Crocs, yeah.
Who backs a caravan better?
Oh, Kathy does.
Thank you.
Kathy gets all the attention when she backs the caravan, and all the old fellas come out and have their beers ready and, you know.
How to turn a head over 50 without wearing a string bikini.
Yeah, they're full of compliments. I think they're waiting for you to hit something, but you never have, so it's good. Definitely you're the best backer.
I ain't jinxing now. What's the best whoopsie?
Oh, when we nearly put the caravan in the creek at Albany. Yeah, we probably forgot the chocks. Just shows that you need to concentrate after a long day. So.
And communication, Joe.
Yeah, that was Kathy's fault.
Excuse me. All right. Serious now. Why did you want to come on this journey back in time with me?
Oh, do I have a choice?
No.
Okay, seriously. Oh, look, I think having known your story and to be able to support you to go and talk to everybody, record it, to capture those conversations was really important. It was such a significant, as listeners would know, it is such a significant story that needs to be told, but also, you know, to be there and support you with it has been, you know, something that I'm more than happily do over and over again.
Why do you think it needs to be told?
Have you listened to your own podcast? I think it because it just, it goes from disbelief to how does that happen to challenging every view that you'd have as a parent to, you know, the nurturing side that, that we all take on as parents. It just, for some reason, it just captivates anyone that listens, because you spend your time shaking your head and not believing it, to then actually put it into context and seeing that it's a real person, especially such a young person that has to be told.
Yeah. And I guess for me, it was important because it was my opportunity to say thank you to all of those people, not all of those, because there's a lot of people that are still missing that I hadn't had the opportunity, but key people that I was able to say thank you for being part of my life and a really critical time in my life.
Yeah, and that's been evident that people that have come on the journey with you and their willingness just to openly embrace you again, sometimes after 37 years, but also know that you're okay and be proud of who you are. But
yeah.
So they have had their own demons about the story that has been great to see them.
Yeah, reconcile and be
put
okay.
Put them to bed as well.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. So what do you feel has been the most challenging for you?
I think the most challenging was when we received the documents from Freedom of Information from various departments, that always knowing the story and knowing the context of the stories, but suddenly reading it in black and white was really confronting. And again, not just because my partner and my wife, but reading it and looking at it and thinking about that as such a young person that that happened to was hugely confronting and something that I wouldn't want to put on anyone ever. So, but to have the context of the time was hugely confronting.
Yeah, it was massively confronting. Because you can tell the story, but then when it's put in front of you, black and white, and almost word for word, yeah, it's pretty unbelievably confronting. What do you think's been the most challenging for me?
Probably the mental space that you've had to get into the zone to, one, prepare yourself before you, especially where you were interviewing people or catching up with people and not knowing what their responses would be. You know, as I said, it's such a long time ago, but preparing yourself for that and then being able to articulate that, writing and then being able to record that, it's not just a one-step process. The way you've done it and you've done it so thoroughly and, you know, dedicated to it, I can see that it's taken its toll sometimes in some days where some of the heavier sessions, you know, have taken 3 or 4 days just to work through that.
Yeah. And I think interviewing people, you're right, like not knowing what their response was going to be, but also creating a safe space for them to be okay, to want to be interviewed. And that's not just turning up on a doorstep and going, oh, hello, would you like to do a recording with me? Even, you know, talking about things that happened 3 decades ago, almost 4 decades ago. But creating space for them to feel safe, and that took days and weeks sometimes to be able to do that.
And that's a testament to the relationships that you obviously have had and had through that period, but they've all felt welcome to do that, or comfortable to do that's probably a better word, is so comfortable just to be in the moment and go back to those times, and but also talk about how many laughs you've had and how many amazing experiences you've had since then. So
yeah,
that's been a pretty, you know, amazing process to witness.
Yeah. And you also, like for me, I've got to a point in my life where I've reconciled with my past, but knowing that other people haven't necessarily got to that same space. They're still dealing with, you know, life and survivalness as well.
Yeah.
You know? So what do you think are some of the highlights? What's a standout highlight for you? We're talking about 6 months worth.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think the standouts have been any time you've sat down with, whether it be your auntie and uncle, whether it be your friends, cousins, and the warmth that they've all presented. The highlight has been obviously you saying thank you and being able to let them know that you're okay. But the highlights has been seeing the relief on some of those faces, that them telling their story, you can see that it's actually helped them significantly. And also for them to realise and be proud of the part they played. You know,
yeah.
Maybe thought that they didn't do enough, or they could have done more, or was it the right decision to send you back or not to do something. But the relationship that you have had with those people and watching their faces, I guess, and their emotions just actually be comfortable with with where it's all at.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Would you do it all over again?
I would do it all over again, for sure. We might have to, because I think there's some things that, who knows, there's still a lot of missing pieces there that we may choose to go back and recapture. I'm not sure. But certainly I'd do it all again. It's been an amazing experience. And, you know, it's been a lot of territory covered, nearly every state but Tasmania, really, but it's what we finished.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you'd happily do it all over again, for sure.
Would you change anything in the way that we've gone about it?
It's difficult to say would we change it, because I think the way we've gone about it, especially the recording of some of the interviews, as I think you mentioned about, it's not just about rocking up and putting a camera in somebody's face and saying, oh, we're going to, you know, do a full production of this. It was making that space comfortable. So maybe there could be better ways that we could have captured those, some of those visuals or some of those moments, but it is what it is. It's been an amazing process, but, you know, second time round, people might be more comfortable with it as well.
Yeah.
Because sometimes this is the first time people have been speaking about the whole story. So to be able to capture that differently might be the only thing I'd try and do differently, or we could do differently or think differently about.
Yeah. Has there been any surprises?
I don't think surprises from the story. I think surprises of, you know, I guess the complexities of it all when you put it together. And, you know, I think in the episodes as of now, you're only at, what, 16 or 17. So the surprise is, for me, the, I don't know what the word is, of the depths or the complexities of it.
Yeah.
Because when you hear it and you tell stories about past and things like that, it sort of doesn't sink in until you actually sit down and layer it on top of the story. So that's been the surprise of the true complexities that were involved.
And perhaps too, you know, hearing the story, but then you're actually reliving and revisiting the story as we went through different locations. It became real because you're all of a sudden seeing what I saw in my head. Or meeting the people that were actually big parts of my life, and then all of a sudden it becomes real. It's just not a story.
Yeah. If it's a surprise, it's probably not the right word, but, you know, I knew that you'd be okay with it because you'd almost like been preparing for this for so long to capture the story or tell the story. The surprise is how you've been able to articulate it, because I don't know whether I would, or I'm sure many people listening may not have been able to articulate as well as you have. So, I guess the other part is a surprise that there's now over 13,500 downloads of people that are interested or invested in the story. And that's not just because of the drama. That's also because of not just because of the drama and the trauma, but it's actually to do with the resilience and how you as a person has been able to get through that.
Yeah. And what was important for me in going on the journey and telling the story was making sure that people listening weren't left hanging. It wasn't just a vomit of information. It was creating a safe space that people felt okay to listen to the story, but they were left with something positive so that they could either bring that into their own lives and feel connected to it, or feel connected in a way that they could share it with somebody else that may be going through some form of dysfunctionality.
Hmm.
So going on such a long ride, and there was a lot, and as a partner, as a man, what do you think you could share to other partners, particularly males, about how they can support their own partners?
The hardest part I think we had to get our head around was that none of it could be fixed, none of it could be changed. Even the times where you had your toughest days, there's very little that I could do to change that. It was just the process you had to go through. So, yeah, it's a classic well-learned thing that just because there's a problem there, we can't always fix it, can't always just try and make it better, but just to be there and allow the space
and
to know that sometimes there's a whole lot of stuff going on, and it's just supporting that process and knowing that and helping keep focused on why you're doing it, because there's sometimes I'm sure you didn't want to record a certain part, or some things were tougher than the other, but I guess us as a couple saying this is what we chose to do.
Yeah.
And you've been amazing at that, being able to stay focused. So just always coming back to why I think in the early conversations we had about it not just being a traumatic vomit of information, but what do you want to get out of it and what's your end outcome? And it was about providing that upside as well of the positivity of the story, that there's always someone there to help, or sometimes you've got to ask for that help, or sometimes you've got to go ahead and get that help yourself, or go, sometimes you've just got to get up yourself. So that peace and space and just be there for whatever the outcome is probably the critical thing.
Yeah. And I guess one of the reasons why I asked you that question is because, you know, particularly males do find it challenging to know what and how the best way is to support their partner, because intrinsically a male's position is to want to fix it, want to take it away. But the reality is that often you can't fix it and you can't take it away, because what's happened's happened. But for me, what I appreciated the most about what you did for me is you did create space. When you knew that I was struggling with certain things, you didn't kind of come in and, you know, want to, you know, suffocate me in some, for want of a better word, but allow me the time to be able to just deal with whatever I was dealing with in that moment in time. But then when the tears did flow, then being able to hug me and just let me sob, like, that was just amazing. Yeah, just incredible. So grateful. So in keeping with the theme of Raised by an Invisible Village, what are some inspiring Joe words that you could share with our listeners?
I don't know if they're inspiring Joe words, but I think the comments and the feedback that you've had through the story or through the listeners says it all. It's, you know, proudness, inspirational, resilience, I'm a god. But again, it's just the focus that you've been able to stick to that episode during that time. And I think the key part that really stands out for me is there were so many times where it may sound like the invisible village will always save you, or someone's always going to be there for you, but it started with you. Every time there was a down part in your journey, the real key part of ever getting back up was it started with you.
Mm.
And I think that's that amazing ability just to get up and go again the next day.
Yeah.
I think we all need a bit of that. So if I was to take one bit of inspiration, they're not my words, but it's what I take from the story, is that, you know, it's shit happens, and sometimes shit is really unbelievably bad. But more than ever, you know, you got to get up the next day. And something that I've always tried to think about in my life is something's happened, it's not happening anymore.
Yeah.
And that's sort of trauma or, like, and I don't say that lightly, to say that anyone's own personal trauma or drama is not real. I think somewhere mentally you have to be able to say it's no longer happening anymore.
Yeah, yeah, and rise up.
And as some sort of pattern to up to say it's not happening anymore, and I just need to get up and go again.
Yeah.
And make today different, or make my next week different.
Yeah. Thank you for being in my invisible village.
Thank you for letting me come along. I didn't realize I had a choice. That's amazing.
Oh, amazing. Thank you.
I hope you really enjoyed our conversation together. I know, like me, this very special, amazing man will give you an insight into how a healthy, loving, and accepting relationships are possible. A huge demonstration that dysfunctionality does not have to be permanent. We don't have to stay in this cycle of trauma, breeding more trauma. We are never alone. When you really look, there is always one character who is present to hold you in life. In the new year, 2024, I will take you into the next season of this journey of my life. From a single teenage mother, stepping back in the Jehovah's Witness world, marriage, escaping domestic violence, divorce, and a whole lot more, and the formation of my professional career will also unfold in the next season. But for now, I really want to say thank you for listening and taking this journey with me. I have been gifted with so many amazing comments and messages. A reminder again of how I continue to be raised by an invisible village. Please enjoy the festive season of 2023. Keep safe, love and hug those that are around you and all those far and wide who form your own invisible village. All my love, Kathy. Creating a safe and connected space for you and I. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the series Raised by an Invisible Village, and these real life stories have provided you with the opportunity to reflect about your own invisible village. a moment in time to uncover those who accept you, support your growth, and celebrate your success. And the recognition that you also are a character in someone else's invisible village, and how important our roles are as mentors, influencers, and champions. I'd love to stay connected and encourage you and others to join me by subscribing to my podcast channels. Together, we can continue to recognize the power of our invisible village for acceptance, growth, and success.